So I actually work for the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention at their International Statistics Program in their National Center for Health Statistics. Better? So our topic today is focused on vital events tracking among community health workers, so looking at birth and death recording and what we can use from that information. And that topic is relevant to the work that we're doing at CDC. I work as part of a civil registration and vital statistics improvement project in countries around the world. So we'll look a little bit more at how that's connected. I have no relationships to disclose. And so I'm going to set some context for you. I have been honored, I'm honored to be part of this panel today, but for the past couple years I've worked with my colleagues on the panel to discuss this issue of vital events tracking among community health workers. We collectively have a common interest in this role for CHWs, and much to my satisfaction, among our discussions, we've come to an appreciation for the role of well-functioning civil registration and vital statistics systems as a means to support the vital events data that can be provided for community health programs. So I'm going to set the context from that perspective of CRVS, civil registration and vital statistics systems, where we are and how community health workers fit into this. So we'll look at some of the efforts to improve these systems globally and look at how CHWs can be used as registration agents and reporters. So we begin with the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which declares that individuals have the right to a nationality. This right is best supported by well-functioning civil registration systems. And this is a right that UNICEF advocates for in their advocacy for birth registration and the right to an identity. To look a little more specifically at civil registration as a function, of course, from the health perspective, we're most interested in birth and death events. But I want to point out that it is a government system that's backed by laws or regulation. So it's an important consideration to keep in mind when we're thinking about how community health workers fit in. So through this, we're producing legal documents, and the goal for countries is to record all vital events that are occurring in their country as they occur. And I emphasize this last point to distinguish maybe from what we get from identification systems. If you have a national ID that's issued, say, at the age of 16, you need a birth registration to get that. But at the age of 16, it's not particularly helpful for the planning and evaluation that we really want to use this information for. And then the product of civil registration, of course, are the vital statistics that we want to be able to use, which we can compile in statistical form. And the goal, again, for countries is to have accurate data from all of the vital events taking place in a country. From the public health perspective, some of the other data sources for vital events that we might be a little bit more familiar with are the census or surveys. So this slide helps us to understand the different advantages and disadvantages that are offered across these different data sources. And for the civil registration and vital statistics system data, I'll highlight a few points. First, that it's the only source of continuous data. And when complete, it can provide the only source of small area data on an ongoing basis. While some of the initial costs to establish a system can be high, as a byproduct of this national government system, often supported by agents outside of the health sector, the vital statistics from the system can be relatively cheap to maintain and a relatively cheap asset for health planning. And now we'll look at the status of these systems around the world, starting with one of the two areas that we look at in improving these systems, that's the completeness. I find this slide to be rather boring because it's so flat, and it just indicates what little progress we've made in the last 50 years. Our goal for these systems in terms of completeness is to reach 90% within a country. In this slide, we look at births in particular. I apologize, my line is a little off there. Should be a little bit higher. But we see that we're not doing very well across the WHO regions in the world. So Europe's more or less there, but we have a lot of improvement to make elsewhere. And then we look at deaths, also largely a lot of improvement to be made, although we have reached the goal in the European region in more recent years. The other component that we look at when improving these systems is the quality of information. So here's a slide showing causes of death information, the quality throughout the world. Again, we have our eyes are drawn to the big white mass in the center where there's no information to report from these countries. And this leads us to what we call the information paradox. Where we need that information the most, it is lacking. To look at some of this information in just a little bit of a different perspective, we've got some numbers. So we've got 2/5 of all births around the world each year are not registered, and 2/3 of all deaths. We have 85 countries with zero or unreliable cause of death information, and an additional 52 with low quality information. So that's the challenge we're trying to meet. As we explore some of the reasons that these systems don't work, largely a lack of priority by country governments, resulting in poor quality systems and inadequate systems outside of urban areas where the access is a little bit easier. The other issue that we've come across is the fact that in most countries where these systems are working, they're traditionally active systems, they're traditionally passive systems that require the people that need the certificates to go and record the information. But in some of the lower resource settings that we're trying to help improve, we're finding that this passive system doesn't work for a variety of reasons. One, we've got more events occurring at home, not within health institutions. We have a population that doesn't have a perceived need to register where there are no incentives or no government services connected to the provision or to the having a birth or death certificate. There's no perceived need for this this registration. And then, of course, several barriers that are common to many of the health services that we're trying to provide also, namely distance, where in many countries the registration office doesn't go below the district level. Some efforts that have been made in the past 50 to 60 years, we have made good progress on. Those are the first two listed here in setting standards to improve comparability. A few examples that come to mind are in setting standards for medical certification of cause of death, as well as standards for verbal autopsy for getting cause of death information on community deaths. Also in the international collection and publication of data, the UN has led a number of initiatives that have provided us with some data from these sources. However, the strengthening systems at the national level has not kept up to par, and that's where we really need to focus. And I think one of the key issues that's hindered us is that this information has not been perceived as a key to development. In our current day, though, we have a lot of factors working for us that have enabled us to move forward. Most countries around the world are more developed, and with this, we can take advantage of what mobile technology has to offer us in reaching down further to the lower levels. National ID systems, we're gaining a greater appreciation for those, and those require birth and death information. Also with those, we get some support from outside the health sector to support the birth and death information coming from within the health sector. And going back to that first slide I showed about the advantages of CRVS systems, there's been a renewed appreciation for some of the unique advantages offered by these systems, namely the continuous data flow, the small area data, and as a relatively inexpensive data source operating from that administrative system. So if we focus now on strengthening these national systems, we are seeking to make a passive system more active, and this is where our community health workers come in with their ability to reach down to the household level. So some of the roles that we look to engage community health workers are in reporting the occurrence of birth and deaths, in registering these events into a national system, conducting verbal autopsies for those deaths taking place in the communities, and conducting local level data use and action meetings. This is really the key to successful integration with community health workers, given that it's a mutually beneficial source of information to be used that should be used at the local level, but also provides that opportunity for civic engagement and empowerment. And so I'm honored to be part of this panel today. The speakers that will follow will give you a better idea of what's happening on the ground and some of the work they're doing in various community health worker programs at different levels and different angles. But we've been talking for a couple years now about what are some of the successful linkages that can connect the work going on at the local level up to improving these national civil registration and vital statistics systems. So again, we remember that we're connecting health workers into a legal system. What are the implications for that? We look at strong linkages across government sectors, not just within the Ministry of Health, but within the Ministry of Interior or Home Affairs or civil registration, and looking at how we can take advantages of mobile technology and advances in information technology to make this job easier. And I'll end here with my comment on others, in that this is an ongoing conversation we're having, and we'd love additional input and information sharing. So please feel free to contact me if you would like to become further engaged in this conversation with us. So thank you very much.